Good morning, church. It is a joy to welcome each and every one of you as we come together this day, celebrating the gifts and the blessings that come to us only through Jesus Christ and our living Lord. As we worship together today, may the presence of Christ touch our hearts, our minds, and our spirits. May the peace of Christ be with you. Let us rise and pass the peace of Christ to one another.
Good morning, and happy Father's Day to all you dads out there. You have a glorious day to go home and mow the lawn and wash the car and all that dad stuff you get to do on your special day. No work on Sundays, says Pastor Dave. And Terry's up here agreeing too. No, thank the Lord for this glorious day of sunshine and blue skies. While we're preparing for announcements, I would ask as a reminder to please take your red folder and sign the attendance forms that are in that folder and pass it to others in the pew, bringing it back to the center aisle. And also, if you have a prayer request this morning, you'll find 3x5 cards in those red holders. Please complete that card and put it in the clear holder at the end of the pew, and our ushers will bring it forward to Reverend Lake. We just have a few quick announcements. And I'm going to ask Jack to come forward. And while he's coming forward, Josh Berger has an announcement that there is no youth today or this evening. Whatever hours that it was scheduled, it has been canceled for today. And any questions, you can see Josh. He's our music minister, soundboard minister over there. And now we have our favorite go-to guy, Jack.
Good morning. For those of you who don't know me, Patty and my wife Patty and I have been the coordinators for the work trip to Philippi, West Virginia, and this will be our 24th build this year. And I wanted to let you know that we have received all of the items that we were looking to get. We surpassed our need for money last week, and yet you folks out there just want to continue to bless us. And we have now gone over $5,000. So that those monies that have come in addition will help to defray the cost for those of us who are actually going on the work trip. And we were blessed this week, got some phone calls, and you may have remember that we knew we had a utility trailer that would be donated, and we knew that we had a full twin bed, mattress, box springs, the whole works that was donated. This week we found someone had called and said that they had a chest of drawers. And not only did they have a chest of drawers, when Pat saw it, she said, it's a perfect size. It's going to fit right in the little nook where they've been using plastic bins to hold their clothes. So we also received a small cabinet. Those of you who are of my vintage would certainly remember the metal cabinets that were in your mother's or grandmother's kitchen that had the butcher block top on it. Mint condition, this thing's perfect, and it's going to fit right into the pantry area that we're going to be building for her. It's a God incidence. And, you know, I said to Pat, it's all about timing. I was getting a little concerned. It was getting down to the 11th hour, and we're trying to finalize everything. The money's come in. Now we have everything we've asked for. We need some good weather. So if you've been praying for us, we're just asking for a good day on Monday. If we can get under roof, then we'll deal with it after that. So continue to keep us in your prayers, the work team. We just want to continue to thank you for all that you've done for the work trip this year and in the years past. The food items that are coming in, we received quite a few of those last evening. I apologize to you in the second service that none of the bags were remaining. You didn't get a chance to fill any of those, but we've already gotten a few things that weren't even on the list, so we thank you for that too, and your generous and your generosity and your kindness. It's a wonderful time. in the church for the work trip. And yet it's a sad day. We're losing one of our team members. And in recognition of that man, we want to present him with a work shirt for this year's work team. Pastor Dave. I gave him one last night at the Saturday service. I gave him another one today this morning, and then I took it back and gave it to him again. And that one's not even his. So next week, we will be leaving for the work trip. We will be here at the second service. We're hoping to have as many of the work team here in our shirts, and Reverend Tom Funk will be doing the service of consecration. I'd ask that you please be with us to send us on our way. Thank you. God bless you.
Thank you, Jack and Patty, for certainly words escape me. And a final announcement that the congregation is invited to a reception immediately following our service. It will be in the parlor today to give you opportunity for a quick adieu to Reverend Lake and his family, and Godspeed in their new adventure. And at this time, I would ask that you remember to look at your other announcements printed in your bulletin and prepare your hearts for worship. I would now ask that you stand and follow along in your bulletin under the heading of Call to Worship, reciting your response to my prompt. We often feel as if we are wandering through our lives, searching for something we cannot name. We come today to listen for hope, to pray for strength, and to experience God's love. As the deer longs for flowing water in the wilderness, we long to drink deeply of God's promise for us. Knowing God is here, we join together on our journey.
Lead us to your still waters, O Lord.
Imprisoned by rules of our own making, we come to remember and claim our faith. Assured by the vision of Christ, whose sacrifice leads us to heaven, we come in fellowship with one another.
Let us
With shouts of praise and songs of thanksgiving, we come to celebrate the God of hope, the Spirit of peace, and the Christ of redeeming love.
We come to pray. We come to sing. We come to worship and praise.
Please remain standing for our opening prayer printed in your bulletin. Join me now. God of mystery, open our eyes to look for you in unfamiliar places. Open our ears to hear you speak in the sound of sheer silence. Open our hearts to feel the depth of your love. When we wander in the wilderness of fear and death, revive us with your care that we may find strength for our journey back to the land of hope and life. Amen.
I'm not sure how many years this prayer shawl ministry has been going on, where individuals gather either on Sunday morning in one of the rooms or are diligently working at home and knitting and crocheting. There are hats here to go to infants, prayer shawls, and now even these little prayer patches. They're called pocket prayer shawls for prayers and peaceful thoughts that you may stick in your pocket or in your purse to remember that those have been knitted or crocheted with prayers and love as they have come to life, as it would be. These prayer shawls are for you to take. Now, some of them are marked this morning as to where they're specifically to go. But if there's someone in your office or in your neighborhood or in your family or you yourself are in need of a prayer shawl, they are welcome. You are welcome to come and to take one. They're usually over on the quilt rack hanging there always for you to use. So let us unite our hearts and our spirits as we pray and dedicate these items. Gracious and loving God, acts of love and prayers have been placed in these infant hats, these prayer shawls, these pocket prayer patches. We pray, O God, that your healing presence might flow through them. Words and prayers have been lifted up as knitting and crocheting takes place. Might they not only feel the warmth of these prayer shawls, but may they experience your healing power and your presence. To know, O God, that individuals are loved and cared for, and that they do not journey alone, but that your healing power and presence and your love are always with them. For this, O God, we ask and pray in Jesus Christ's holy and precious name. Amen. I would invite you now to turn in our hymnal to hymn number 143, On Eagle's Wings. Our opening hymn this morning is number 89, Joyful, Joyful, We Adore Thee.
Joyful, joyful, we adore thee, God, our glory, Lord above all. Please be seated. I've got some kids this morning. How are you two this morning?
Good.
Anything new or exciting? Same old, same old. Here comes another one. Yay! Good morning, sweetie. So at the first service, I had a couple children up here. And do you know what they asked me? Why am I wearing this? Do you know what this is? This is called a microphone. Do you know what it does? It makes me louder. So if I cover it up, turn me off for a second, Josh. When Josh turns it back on, oh my goodness, everybody, they could probably hear me outside if we opened the windows. Keep coming. I don't want to scare you. How are you doing? Good to see you. So that's what this voice, this microphone makes my voice boom. Do you think God needs one? Do you think God needs a microphone? I don't think so. Sometimes God is a big booming voice. But most of the time, God talks to us in a gentle whisper. In a gentle whisper. And we'll hear a story about that later on in the sermon, about God speaking not in the big loud stuff, but in the gentle whisper. Now, I want you to remember this. God does speak to each of you. That's a promise. And God will call you to follow Jesus. I promise that. And I hope you will be good followers of who Jesus is. Let's pray. Lord God, for these boys and girls, we are grateful. We know that you call each of us by name. We pray that we will hear that gentle voice and be faithful to Jesus Christ. For it's in his name that we pray. Amen.
Through it all, you remain. Through it all, you never change. Your plans are true, oh, I may fail to see. I know and believe you are greater. You are more than I have.
As many of you have realized, today's a special day. It's rather important. I didn't really have anything prepared. And when I looked in the book of worship, there's a service for this. But to me, the service didn't seem personal enough. It seemed kind of bland. But today is a day that we have the sadness, but also the honor of saying farewell to Reverend Lake and his family. And Dave, I hope I'm not spoiling it too much, but his sermon this morning, there was a phrase that he kept saying through it that just kind of like stuck, and it had an impact on me in a couple of different ways. And the phrase was, one solitary life. One life, one solitary life has an impact on everyone that they come into contact with. Sometimes it's like the gentle guidance of a parent holding the back seat of a bike while you're learning to ride. Sometimes it's like a crashing wave that just hits you full of force and power. Sometimes it's positive. Sometimes it's negative. But regardless, it's one solitary life. And in Dave's case, it's one that is lived in the service of the Lord. Sure, he's done some good things. Sure, he's made mistakes, but haven't we all? I have talked with a couple of people ahead of time, and I asked two people to stand and share with you and with Dave and his family what and how he has impacted on their lives. So I'm going to turn this over to Deb.
You can't hide. You can run, but you can't hide. I first met Dave 5 years ago in February. I met him at Forbes Regional Hospital. I met him because my sister Darilyn had died, and Darilyn was a member of this church. Walt McKill was her husband. That's a pretty rotten way to meet someone, let me tell you. But he ministered to us. We were strangers. But the love of God, through this man's hands, ministered to our broken spirits. And I thought to myself, who is this man? A servant of God was the answer. I got to know him after I joined the choir in the back hallway. And let me tell you, this man has a sense of humor and is a bit of a smarty pants sometimes. Truth, I can't speak but the truth. I have enjoyed immensely seeing him as a human, seeing him turn cartwheels, seeing him run in his bare feet at a picnic. I have enjoyed meeting God in the flesh, because truly the Lord dwells within this man. And he was God in the flesh to me. Over the course of time, I discovered he's not just a servant of God. He's a servant of men. He's a servant to men. And I am blessed beyond description to stand here and testify to the man of God this is. I will miss him. I don't know him all that well. But I'm going to miss that time together in the back hallway. I am going to miss what you have been to Michael. Many of you know our grandson, the little blonde-haired grandson. My daughter is a single mother by choice. Michael's father wanted him aborted. And can you imagine that little face not being here? And David has been an encouragement to him. He has taught Michael that men of God can be fun and can be serious and can be a beacon in your life. So I wish you nothing but the biggest blessing from the Lord. I envy the congregation that's going to receive you, because their gain is our loss. And the ministry which you have had in my life will nourish me for years to come. Thank you for what you did for Darylin, for what you did for our family, and for who you are.
That's all it takes, one solitary life. I also asked Nellie to speak.
Well, I can't add a lot to that. Wow, that was great. I didn't know all that went on. But I have been a member in this church. In January, it was 47 years. And I'm only 10 years old. But the time has flown. We have seen many preachers come and go. And love them all. Some to greater degree, some to lesser degree. But they've all meant something in our lives. And they brought God to our lives in different ways. So it's been good having you here, Dave. And we did have a lot of fun. I think the highlight in my mind is the teaching that you brought us on the Bible. I was privileged to take one session of the disciple class. My husband has taken several of them. And really got a lot out of that. You know, you think you know a lot when you've been around a lot and taken a lot of Bible classes and gone to Sunday school. But there's always something new that each pastor and even those in the class bring to the study. So that's been a real blessing, I think, to this church to have that study brought to us. So thank you very much for that. And I'm sure you'll do the same for the church in Waynesburg. They need that. Every church needs that. You know, sometimes we skim the surface of the Bible and we pick up things in church, but to actually study what's in there is really, really good. That's when it begins to be something you can use. So thank you for that. Wish you well.
It's just one solitary life. And although many might not think it's important, it is. it creates waves. It makes a difference as it goes through our lives. My experience with Dave has been more like the gentle ebb and tide. It hasn't been a crash down, awe moment. But it's the little things, like the hallway in the back, talking in the parlor, or talking about a service or what's going on. Just the little things, the little ways that he does things that have made that change in me, or made me think about, well, yeah, you know what? Hey, the hallway reminds me of fellowship and of everything is not so serious, that there's fun times. Serving God does not mean deadpan serious. And he shows that. He also shows compassion and a willingness to teach. And those are all things that I can look to and say, you know what? That's one aspect of him that I need to follow. I don't always agree with him. We've had arguments, too, and disagreements about, you know, how to do things. But we still work together and serve the Lord because he's the one that matters. And I see that in Dave quite often. And I think that he's someone that we should look up to. And I know he's someone that I look up to. Now, for those of you that have been around when I was growing up in the church, you know darn well that I don't follow directions well. Surprise, Leanne. I would like to call Dave to join me in the center here. And I would like to call the Lake family to come down and join with Dave in the center here. I would now like to invite the rest of the congregation, if you are willing and able, to please stand and join us in the center aisle and lay your hands on Reverend Lake and the Lake family as I offer a blessing. If you cannot reach the Lake family, please lay your hand on the shoulder of the person in front of you. Dear Lord, we come together today to bless and praise your holy name. But as we do, we bring that bittersweet sadness of having to say farewell to someone who has been that one solitary life moving about our lives. Lord, we ask your blessing on Dave as he goes about his ministry. Continue to fill his heart with your love. Continue to bless him as he goes about serving you, something that he has not stopped doing. Dear Lord, we ask your blessing on his family, that you be with them during the time of transition. Dear Lord, we praise you for the joy and the honor that his new congregation is going to have by him being there. Dear Lord, bless him and this family as they continue to be ministers, as they continue to grow your kingdom, all for your glory. And dear Lord, be with the congregation of this church as we also deal with the loss of a beloved pastor, and also be with us as we welcome a new pastor, someone who also serves the Lord just like Dave. Eternal God, whose steadfast love for us is from everlasting to everlasting, we give you thanks for cherished memories. We commend one another into your care as we move in new directions. Keep us one in your love forever, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Pastor Dave, we love you. Yeah. You know what?
As we continue with worship, I would ask you to turn to page 777. Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't see that. Sorry, Andrew.
Check. There it is. Good morning, everybody. So I wasn't planning on doing this, but that was lovely. And I guess you won't hear this from the parents. And I've said it to a couple people already, but when we moved here, I did not shed one tear. I'm not going to add any more to that, but I was very, very glad that we were here. And in that time, I went away to college, and it was evident at the 8:30 service where mostly people said, oh, well, I didn't really get to know you, but it was nice, you know, hearing you play and being around and things, but this was my service, so looking around, I know a lot of you. And throughout the years being around, I will shed a tear when we leave here. Because the way that this church has accepted my mom and my dad has just absolutely meant the world to me. Especially after not shedding a tear for moving here. So, you're going to be hearing a lot of things that we want you to remember. But from me, remember that God comes in the relationships that you have with one another. And whether that be your neighbor, whether that be your next minister, whether that be, a little child, or whether that be a, a minister's son that goes away to college and comes back just to see the wonderful, wonderful love and support that you have given us, is just absolutely meant the world to us. And we will be very sad to leave this church, but it is going to be nothing but good memories leaving. And that in itself is the biggest blessing you could have given us. So thank you for the way that you have treated not only my parents, but the way you've treated your minister, because you are a very loving and just God-filled congregation. And for that, I thank you. So thanks.
Well, Andrew, trying to keep my composure up here. Now turn into your bullets or your red hymnals to page 777 for our responsive reading. Psalm 42. Please recite your response to my prompt. As a deer longs for flowing streams, so longs my soul for you, O God. My tears have been my food day and night, while people say to me continually, "Where is your God?" Why are you cast down, O my soul, and why are you disquieted within me? My soul is cast down within me, therefore I remember you from the land of Jordan and of Hermon, from Mount Mizar. By day the Lord commands his steadfast love, and at night God's song is with me, a prayer to the God of my life. Like a deadly wound in my body, my adversaries taunt me.
They say to me continually, "Where is your God?"
Why are you cast down, O my soul, and why are you disquieted within me? Here ends the reading of Psalm 42. And at this time, I would ask our ushers to come forward for the presentation of God's tithes and our offering. Holy God, we are grateful for the wonderful healing that you bring through Christ your Son. Empower us now by your Spirit to tell others how much you have done for us, so that they too will discover your grace. Use these offerings today to support our ministries of this congregation to renew the sick in body, mind, and spirit. We ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Please be seated. We come to that time in the service to offer our joys and our concerns. If you look in the back of our worship folder this morning, you will see the prayer list that is there before us. We have those individuals listed in the personal care and rehabilitation centers. We have those individuals that we continually lift up in prayer. We have those that rotate on and off on a monthly basis. And then we have our service personnel as well. And of course, we just need to turn on the news and to see those areas in our own country and around the world where there are those who are grieving, those who are experiencing loss, those where their lives have been changed or affected by turmoil or hatred or fear, hunger, homelessness. Let us remember all of those that need to experience the power and the presence, the grace and the forgiveness of Almighty God. Let us unite our hearts and our spirits in this wonderful hymn number 534, Be Still, My Soul. Thank you.
Gracious and loving God, in these moments that we share together, we pray that indeed we will be still and to hear your voice, to know your presence, to know that your grace, your forgiveness, your love seek to flood our lives every single day. Oh God, we are grateful for each family, each home, each individual that is represented here today. For mission and ministry that occurs within the walls of this church and outside these walls in the communities where we live. Oh God, we pray that you will continue to use us. Use us in spite of our humanness, which sometimes gets in our way and trips us up. But that, oh God, is where your grace and forgiveness come in. And you look at each and every one of us and say, try again. Start fresh. It's okay. Oh God, we pray for those in our midst today. Those perhaps who are grieving the loss of loved ones. Those, oh God, who are grieving relationships that are changing. For those, oh God, who are in need of your healing power and presence. Oh God, we pray for health and wholeness. We know that great things happen through modern science and medication. We know that great things happen through your touch and your care. And we know of those, oh God, in our lives who need healing, body, mind, and spirit. Today we pray for them. We pray for our dad. Our fathers. We pray, oh God, that they might be blessed and be that source of wisdom and goodness, blessings, and love that we have all been created to be. Oh God, we pray for this church, for what it stands for in this community. For each minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ that sits in the pew this day. For you have called and empowered each of us to allow the holy presence of Christ to radiate forth from within us, that others might see and experience and grasp this holy presence of this one solitary life in Christ. Oh God, we ask and pray all of these things in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior, who has taught us to say when we pray, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. As we prepare to hear the words of Scripture for us today from Luke's Gospel, I would invite you to stand with me in body or in spirit. Hear these words for us this day from Luke chapter 8. When they arrived at the country of Gerasenes,
which is opposite Galilee, as Jesus stepped out on land, a man of the city with demons met him. For a long time, he wore no clothes, and he did not live in a house, but in the tombs. When he saw Jesus, he fell down before him and shouted at the top of his voice, "What have you to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg you not to torment me." For Jesus had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man. For many times it had seized him. He was kept under guard and bound with shackles and chains. But he would break the bonds and be driven by the demons into the wilds. Jesus then asked him, "What is your name?" And he said, "Legion." For many demons had entered him. They begged him not to order them to go into the abyss. Now there was on the hillside a large herd of swine. It was feeding. And the demons begged Jesus to let them enter these, so he gave them permission. Then the demons came out of the man and entered the swine. And the herd rushed off the steep bank into the lake, and it was drowned. When the swineherdsmen saw what had happened, they ran off into the city of the country. Then people came out to see what had happened. And when they came to Jesus, they found the man whom the demons had gone sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind. And they were afraid. Those who had seen it told them how the one who had been possessed by demons had been healed. Then all the people of the surrounding country of the Gerasenes asked Jesus to leave them, for they were seized with fear. So he got into the boat and returned. And the man from whom the demons had gone begged that he might be with Jesus, but Jesus sent him away, saying, "Return to your home and declare how much God has done for you." So he went away proclaiming throughout the city how much Jesus had done for him. May God's blessing rest upon the reading and the hearing of these holy words for us today, for they are the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Please be seated. Gracious and loving God, we are thankful for these words, for the healing, for the teachings of Jesus Christ our Lord. And now, O God, in these moments that we share to give together, give us a sense of peace and rest. O God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts, may they be pleasing and acceptable, O God, to you, our rock and our Redeemer. For it's in Christ that we pray. Amen. Ever since that afternoon about 1:43, I think, when the call came on Ash Wednesday afternoon, David Cabinet met today and we'd like to talk to you about another appointment. I've wondered, what do you last say to a congregation? What's your last sermon? What do I want you to know and to remember? Thank you for the love that you have shown Leanna, Andrew, Abigail, and me. You always have a special place in our hearts as our lives have been intertwined with you, as you've been a part of our lives for these past 6 years. you will never be forgotten. I also want you to remember that God loves you. God loves you. God also loves the person sitting on your left, the person sitting on your right, the person in front of you and behind you, and you can't do a thing about it. And you know what? God also loves the person that you're going to meet later on today, or you're going to rub shoulders with, bump elbows with in a store, that coworker that you don't like, that person that you can't stand. God even loves them, and there's nothing you can do about it. Ha! There's a wonderful story in 1 Kings chapter 18 and 19. Go read that this afternoon. But it's a story of Elijah. It's a story of the Israelite nation. It's a story of a drought. It's a story of the unfaithfulness of the Jewish people. They're in that tension between worshiping Yahweh, the one God, and the Baal worshipers that have been plaguing them for generations. And so Elijah finally calls for a showdown between the 450 prophets of Baal and Elijah Yahweh. And so the place is planned, the altars are built, the two bulls are brought in, and the Baal prophets pick theirs first. It's slaughtered, cut into pieces, placed upon the altar, and the challenge is to see whose God will set it on fire. Elijah waits. They, the 450, they pray, they dance, they start cutting themselves, releasing of blood as a sacrifice. Elijah waits. And then he starts. Well, maybe your God's on vacation. Maybe your God's sleeping. Maybe your God just doesn't want to deal with you today. Maybe your God is turned aside. Parentheses, they should put, he's in the John. He's busy. And finally, Elijah says, all right, that's enough. He slaughters his bull, it's cut into pieces, it's put upon the wood for the altar, and then he does an interesting thing. They're in, I think it's a 7-year drought, and he takes vessels of water and pours upon the altar. Now, some people in the past have said, oh, that's to make the wood wet so it's harder to light. There's been a drought for 7 years. That water is precious. And it is a sacrifice. It is a gift to Almighty God. And Elijah prays and woof, everything is gone and consumed and the water is lapped up and Elijah has a wonderful victory and the 450 prophets are slain. He alone has been triumphant. The king is married to Jezebel. Don't ever name a daughter Jezebel. Jezebel is upset and she says through a messenger to Elijah, so may it be to me by tomorrow evening if I don't do so to you. A death threat. Now Elijah, as a man of God and a prophet of God, has just had this incredible victory. And he runs scared to death with his tail between his legs. Did you ever have that happen? Go from that high moment of incredible faith, and then something minuscule happens, and you just come crashing down. God follows Elijah. Eventually, he's found in a cave. And God says, get ready, Elijah. I'm coming to see you. There's a violent wind. God's not there. There's a huge burning fire. God is not there. There's an incredible earthquake as the mountain shook, and God was not there. And then, depending on the interpretation, the translation, some of them say, in the sheer silence, in the gentle whisper, that's where God was. So in those moments, remember that God is in the sheer silence, those gentle, quiet moments is when God can and will speak to you and to me. God also came in that small, quiet, well, maybe not quite so quiet manger, that stall on Christmas Eve. Came in that little baby, that child of Bethlehem of Jesus Christ. Born in a poor stable, humbly born, the one who became the servant to the world. One of my favorite stories, as Chris mentioned, One Solitary Life, says this. He was born in an obscure village. He worked in a carpenter shop until he was 30. They couldn't get rid of him. Then he became an itinerant preacher. Must have been written by a United Methodist. He never held an office, never had a family or owned a home. He didn't go away to college. He had no credentials but himself. 19 centuries, 20 centuries have come and gone, and today he remains the central figure of the human race. For all the armies that have ever marched, all the navies that have ever set sail, all the parliaments that have ever sat, all the kings and queens that have ever reigned on this earth have not affected the life of people on this earth as much as that one solitary life. And this one solitary life, my friends, calls and challenges each and every one of us on a daily basis to pick up our crosses and to follow Him, to make His teachings come alive, to go where others will not, to say the loving words that need to be said, to offer Christ, to offer compassion and food and clothing and shelter, to be the church at work, to be the church at work every single moment of every day. Today's scripture is kind of an interesting one. I usually follow the lectionary, and that's the reading for today. And I'm thinking, wow, what an odd one to end on of this situation going on. A healing of this man possessed by demons. And yet when he meets Christ, his life is changed. He meets that one solitary life, and he becomes the whole and complete person that Christ wants him to be. You notice the ending. He wants to travel with Jesus and the disciples. I want to journey with you. And Jesus says, no. He says, return to your home and declare how much God has done for you. And so he went away, proclaiming throughout the city how much Jesus had done for him. As you go home, and live out your daily lives, proclaiming all that the three in one have done for you, also remember. Romans chapter 8, verse 37. No, in all these things, in all of life, we are more than conquerors through Jesus who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life nor angels nor rulers nor things present nor things to come nor powers nor heights nor anything else in all of creation will be able to separate us from the love of Jesus Christ, our Lord. May the peace of Christ be with you now and forever. Amen. Gracious and loving God, you call us by name. You love us. You offer to us your grace and your forgiveness. And you send us forth to our homes to celebrate life and to share the good news of how much God has done for each of us through Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. May we be faithful as we go. For it's in Christ that we pray. Amen. Let us stand now and sing our closing hymn together. Gracious and loving God, as we go out into the world, we pray for that blessed assurance. We pray for that love that will not let us go. We pray for that passion to love and to serve one another as Christ has set that wonder example for us. For we go now, O God, into the world in the name of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Amen.